My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh yeah, tap in. Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you watching in the chatty house. Shout out to you. Thank you. Manny gets the belt today. James, hello.
Hello.
Good morning. And thank you to everybody listening on ESPN 1320 and on the free Odyssey app. We appreciate you tremendously. Hey, I never thought, given the way women's college basketball, women's basketball in general, was received even as recently as 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
6 years ago, I never thought there would be a day where my timeline on Twitter or X, if you suck. I never thought I'd see a day where my timeline on Twitter was on a night where the slate of NBA games was fully dominated by women's college basketball, and rightfully so. It was electric last night in the Women's Elite Eight with LSU Iowa and USC UConn. And before we get into specifics of those games, I think that there is a larger conversation that can be had about the state of college sports and the state of men's basketball versus the state of women's basketball and the one and dones and how it's affecting the men's game. Because look, the bits of the men's tournament that I've watched have been solely because it's like, yeah, it's what's on. I don't care about the storylines. Yeah. I don't. DJ Burns is what I'm rooting for now, and NC State's run. But that became a story during the tournament. There was no buildup. There was no anticipation. I didn't know any of the. I don't know these players' backgrounds or stories or anything like that. Whereas you flip over to the women's side, you've got the LSU-Iowa rematch, Angel Reese, Flauje Johnson, Caitlin Clark, that rematch from last year in the Natty.
Mm-hmm.
On the UConn-USC side, you've got this up-and-coming USC team, number one seed, trying to knock off the perennial powerhouse UConn. It's Paige Beckers versus Juju Watkins. There's storylines. There's things to watch and root for.
Yeah.
You get none of that on the other side.
Even if you didn't know the storylines, the basketball was incredible.
Oh, so good, dude.
My goodness.
So good.
I mean, Caitlin Clark, she just looked like Steph.
It was crazy.
Like, just pulling up from 35. Oh, nothing but net. And, like, off the dribble, like, boom, boom, boom. Like, to start the second half.
Yeah.
It was like, what am I watching?
Did you see the photo going around of Haley Van Lith? The LSU who got, God bless her. LSU's defensive game plan last night on Caitlin Clark was like, hey, we're going to just let her ISO on this one defender.
Oh, no.
And just let Haley Van Lith get cooked all night.
Anytime she didn't have the ball, though, I was like, oh, this is a mess.
I think it was Ben Solak from The Ringer said, every person on Iowa who's not Caitlin Clark and taking a shot is the bravest person in the world.
Yeah.
100%, dude.
They didn't even look like they, it was like, oh no, what are we doing? What are we doing? They'd get a rebound and be like, oh no, what are we doing?
Get at the 22.
Where is she? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was wild to watch. The shot making in the second game too.
Oh.
Was just spectacular.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, like, look, this is a moment. Like, there is so much talent coming through women's college basketball. Expand. Like, get the WNBA off the ground the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, like, Vivek Ranadive, you're out there. Just fire up the Monarchs.
Dude.
Just make the call. Like, this is a point in a moment in history. There's just too much talent.
And you're getting a team down I-80 in the Bay Area, not 24, but in 25.
Okay.
Like, there's going to be a team here. You're right. Fire out the Monarchs. Get that rivalry going.
Yeah.
Get that storyline going. The Las Vegas Aces, very, very good. Just a short flight away.
Yep.
The LA Sparks, the legacy franchise, a short flight away. Seattle, recently won titles, a short flight away. Like, you could dominate the WNBA on the West Coast. You get the Monarchs. You've already got a team going into the Bay Area. I'm here for it, dude.
Yeah, I absolutely think this is just a moment. I mean, they have first-round picks that don't make the team because there's just it's so impacted right now. Like, it's just really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, at some point, you've got to expand. You've got to do it quickly. And the NBA, realistically, they just need to put the money into it again and say, look, we got to this point, but now we see this moment this in history where we might be able to make this thing incredibly successful for a couple of decades. Just do it.
There's not going to be a better time than this. You have Caitlin Clark entering the league. Paige Bueckers will be entering the league.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard about Paige Bueckers since she was in high school.
Yeah.
She'll be entering the league. Juju Watkins is next. She'll be in the league in 3 years.
Yeah.
Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame. Excellent player. They didn't make a deep tournament run, but she's excellent, excellent player. You'll hear more of her name over the next couple of years. All this talent, like you said, is going to be going into this league where they can't hold all the talent currently available to it. And there's not going to be a better time than right now.
Yeah.
So I'm totally with you. I want to bitch about one thing from the games, though.
Okay,
if I can briefly.
Before we do that, I want to pull something up right here.
Yeah, please.
Spencer says, I don't see the WNBA doing well in the city. Wrong.
San Francisco?
Well, maybe in San Francisco, but you're wrong there, too. But Sacramento? Sacramento supported the Monarchs like crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think I think the Bay Area team is going to do fine. They have infinite resources, and Joe Lacob is not going to put money into something without trying to win.
Yeah, and a very diverse city. Yeah. Like, they're going to embrace that team.
I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, and Sacramento, then, like, same thing.
Sacramento's been
huge, been huge WNBA town.
Yeah, been done it. I get more. I have a Sacramento Monarchs hat. New Era released like a throwback WNBA collection. And I have a Sacramento Monarchs hat. And when I wear that, I get more comments on that around Sacramento than I do any other thing I wear.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm all very much for it. And I think you're absolutely right. I don't know if there's ever going to be a better time than right now. I want to talk about the LSU-Iowa game here for a second.
Okay.
You know me. I'm not ref guy. I'm definitely not ref guy. I typically, if there's a really awful call at the end of a game, okay, fine, we can talk. But typically, I'm like, refs
I'm
are there.
Kind of the same way.
You deal with it and you move on. That fifth foul on Angel Reese last night was god awful.
Mm.
If you missed it, LSU is down 10 with a minute 45 left. So again, not that this call decided the game, but there's a principle here that I want to get to. Not this call decided the game. Minute 45, 10 point game. LSU, full court pressure as Iowa's trying to inbound. Angel Reese gets a steal. She drives in, runs into an Iowa defender as she's trying to put the ball on the rim. Offensive foul. They show a replay. It was not close. It was not even a borderline like in real time, admittedly, it was like, oh, man. Yeah, that's going the other way. You can't just railroad somebody like that. But then you see it on a replay and you get a better angle from where the ref was. And I don't understand how you make that call in that spot.
Yeah.
Forgetting entirely that Angel Reese is one of the main reasons people are tuning into this game, the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese battle. ESPN stayed on Caitlin Clark all the way through the handshake line because Angel Reese was at the back of it and they wanted to get that interaction on camera. That's how important this was.
Yep.
And you foul her out on an offensive foul that was not even close to an offensive foul? I am all for making the right call regardless of what you think it is. But also, make sure you're making the right call. That wasn't even close, and it effectively ended the game at that point because there it's a turnover. Iowa gets to inbound it, whereas it could have been Angel Reese going to the line for two, cutting the lead to 8 with a minute 45 left. It's a very doable comeback, especially with the way Iowa was turning the ball over in the half court as they tried to get the ball in the front half.
They were missing free throws too, weren't they? One team just kept missing free throws.
UConn.
That was the other
UConn game. Missed 7 consecutive free throws at the end.
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
Crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, man, I was blown away that the ref blew the whistle. And leaned offensive foul, typically when it's close, it's like, you lean block instead of charge.
Oh, yeah.
And he calls a charge that was not close, man. The defender's feet were never set. And so Angel Reese fouls out, sucks the wind out of what could have been a really intense last minute 45. It was just kind of over from there. That just sucked.
Yeah, it's just
tough.
Hated that very much. Great basketball night, though. And I mean, everybody needs to like get on board. And I mean, I can't wait for the finals. Final Four is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Which I would never have thought that I would like, hey, let's tune in.
Dude, for sure. I kind of feel like South Carolina's just going to steamroll everybody, though.
Okay.
We've been so focused on this other side of the bracket where Juju and Paige and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese have all been. And I think Carolina's just going to kind of steamroll everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, we're used to the NBA. It's a star-driven league, and we've been super hyper-focused on the stars.
Yeah.
It's going to be really tough for a star, you know, doesn't matter how good you are, to like jump over a great team.
Yeah, no doubt. Harrison Barnes is going to win some awards or is a finalist for some awards.
Finalist.
You mentioned that this morning?
Yeah. What do we got? NBA Sportsman of the Year, and he's up for Teammate of the Year as well. This isn't the first time that Harrison Barnes has been nominated for some of these awards. Mm-hmm. He typically is nominated for at least one of these, but he hasn't won it. And hey, look, it just speaks volumes about who he is as a human being, mm-hmm. more than it is who he is as a player. And as a player, he's a good player, but off the court and what he means to a franchise and all that stuff is just, it goes well beyond. So yeah, good stuff.
This is a perfect example of when we talk about, and you've mentioned this before when I've asked at the trade deadline, when we've talked about next offseason, you've mentioned this. When I've said, what are you getting for Harrison Barnes at this point? What team is looking at Harrison Barnes and going, hey, we're going to give up an asset to acquire Harrison Barnes? This kind of stuff is why.
Yeah.
Because there is he's still a productive player, but B, there is a intangible aspect that comes with Harrison Barnes and a maturity and a culture that comes with him that I think teams like a lot.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean, this is a guy who is a pro's pro. That's just, you know, it's it. He's a guy who carries himself the right way, who teaches young players how to be really good pros, who teaches them how to take care of their body, who, you know, teaches them how to get into the community and be active. He's part of the pro basketball, like the Players Association. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a really, really strong representative for not just your basketball team, but your community and everything else. And so, yeah, there's a lot of value to that. And at a certain point, you know, if his play gets to a point where he's not working to the right value, you're always going to, you know, look at that as well as like a huge piece to this. But for right now, like he's still a really good player. And if anyone out there thinks you're a better team without Harrison Barnes on it, just because, you know, do they need more length and athleticism? Of course they do. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean Harrison Barnes can't be part of this team. So it's just
totally
got to figure out a way to build around. And if he's not here next year, I mean, it is what it is. But we're talking about a player who, you know, has played every game for the last couple of years,
yep,
who plays 30-something minutes in a night and you can rely on for everything. So, yeah, good player, good man.
All right, let's continue talking about the Kings. They have a, well, I'm just going to say they have a game tonight because all of their games are big the rest of the way.
Yeah, there is no small game.
Every game is effectively a playoff game moving forward. Yep. So the Kings have a game tonight. Understand that it is a big one. And we'll talk about it. The Clippers visiting Golden 1 Center. We will dive into that matchup next. And we'll tell you a stat that maybe has the A's even worse than you thought they were. Yeah. Kings Clips, we're talking about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Rocking with you until noon. If you're just listening to the show for the first time, that guy over there is James. I'm Kyle. And you can bark at us anytime on the Farmer's Dog Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. Talking Kings, Clippers. It's a big one, James.
It's a big one, Kyle.
Biggest regular season game in Golden 1 history?
It's very possible.
I don't think it's as big as the Mavs game on Friday, to be totally frank.
At this point, it's bigger.
Is it, though?
Is it? Well, you got to show up.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this is a Clippers team that I don't... The Clippers, the Mavericks until recently... And the Suns, and we'll talk about the Suns and their win later on, but they all sit in the same bucket to me of team that I see it. I see why they are dangerous, and I see why you wouldn't want to face them in a playoff series. But I don't trust them.
I don't. Yeah, I don't either.
I can't, and it's a little bit irrational. Because the Mavs, we just saw it in person. Like, they are playing very well, and they are dangerous. They are a tough team. They're a good team. The Suns, saw it last night. They smoked the Pelicans in New Orleans. 52 from Devin Booker. And you go, man, that's a dangerous... But then they'll turn around and lose to the Victor Wembanyama-less Spurs.
Yeah.
And if you told me that Dallas, with eight games... I think they have eight games left. In their final eight games, went 4-4, but okay... Oh, sure. 3-5? Okay, yeah. The Clippers were the hottest team in basketball in December and January, and now they look pretty mediocre. But also, it's still Kawhi Leonard. It's still Paul George. It's still James Harden. It's still Norman Powell off the bench. It's still Russell Westbrook. Is Norman Powell coming off the bench, or is he starting lately?
He's coming off the bench.
So, it just... Terrence Mann, Ivica Zubac. Like, they just have... They have enough guys that you go, man, all right, it could be dangerous. But also, again, if you told me they just kind of face planted and lost in the first round, sure, man. They all fall in the same bucket to me.
Yeah, I think most of these teams that we're looking at right here around the Kings, they're an injury away from not being relevant.
Yeah.
Because they're so top heavy, right? I think the Clippers have maybe better depth than someone like the Suns.
Sure.
But they're still super top heavy. And it's like, okay, look, you've got great players at the top. But then what?
Bones Highland?
Yeah. I guess.
I like Bones.
Yeah. No, I mean you can like Bones Highland, but you know he's not gonna make a huge
Yeah,
huge
right. You're
difference.
You're not scared of Bones Highland in a playoff series.
No, no. I don't think you're scared of Russell Westbrook in a playoff series. I think if you're the Clippers, you're scared of Russell Westbrook in a playoff series.
Like, he's fit into his role a little bit better, but yeah, he's not a player now that you're going, man, we need a game plan around Russell Westbrook minutes.
Yeah, and I also think like these teams are built around aging stars. And aging stars, yeah, you fear them, but I think you fear the ghost of them more than you fear them.
I disagree, because Kawhi Leonard, we have seen this year, can still just go be Kawhi Leonard. Is he what he was defensively? He's not. Just flat out, he is not the lockdown, put him on LeBron, and he's throwing LeBron in a straitjacket. He's not that anymore. But he can still go score as well as anybody, and he can still be an effective defender. He's still a player that when he has the ball on the perimeter and he's getting to a spot in the mid-range, that's dangerous for you. Paul George, same deal. Paul George is still a very well-rounded, effective scorer. Is he peak Paul George? No, but he's still really good.
Yeah, but they're like 80% or 85% of who they were.
Sure.
Like, especially on the offensive end. And then James Harden's like 70.
Sure.
And sure, James Harden can come into Sacramento tonight and somehow light you up for 40, because mm-hmm. that's who James Harden's been, but
sure.
you don't really see that anymore.
I don't even think he's averaging 20 this year.
No. I put him and Bradley Beal in the same bucket where, like, look, there are nights where they're good, but they're also, you know, specifically with Beal, where you're like, all right, man, are you going to play again this year?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that they're dangerous for sure, but I don't walk into a game with Paul George, who's averaging 22 points a game, and Kawhi Leonard, who's averaging 23 points per game,
mm-hmm.
and think that you're averaging that because your team is so stacked that that's just the way it is, and that mm-hmm. you're taking a step back. No, you're taking a step back because you're not the same player.
No doubt.
And Paul George has been really honest about this on his podcast.
Yes.
Like, hey, look, I'm not a 1A anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think he's a really, really productive player,
mm-hmm.
but he's not someone that you just go, oh my gosh, we can't beat the Clippers because they have Paul George. Or
no doubt.
We can't beat them because they have Kawhi Leonard. Now, Kawhi doesn't miss from the mid-range, and Paul George is still an effective player, but, you know, they're getting up there.
Do you know, just because you said Kawhi doesn't miss in the mid-range, do you know what his field goal percentage is this year?
No.
52.5%.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's so nuts for a small forward. Yeah, man, I totally understand. And I get that if this was 5 years ago, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook would have been like,
you're winning a championship.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But also, Kawhi Leonard on the Kings is immediately their second best player. Second best scorer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
same with Paul George.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it just, it's,
see,
it's
okay,
what
so
it is.
I would say Kawhi Leonard, there's a possibility he's your second best player if he were to join the team,
mm-hmm.
you know, but Paul George, I would say he's your third best player.
Right, but he's your second
scoring option.
Yeah.
But he's your third
sure,
best player.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's even the option, like this summer, Paul George has a gigantic decision to make whether he's going to opt in or opt out of his contract, and or if he's going to sign an extension with the Clippers. And there's like the Kings are listed. They're like, I think, third best odds to go out and get a player like that. I don't know that that would ever happen. And again, like the Kings don't have any money, so it would have to be a sign and trade, and they would have to be willing to take what you're offering and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean,
it's not off the table.
I certainly like it. For me, it's always been the fact that at this point he's 33 going on 34 and he makes a ton of money,
mm-hmm.
just a ton of money. And it's really, really difficult. Yeah, he'll be 34 on May 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and he's a guy with a long history of injury.
Yeah.
And it makes it tough. I mean, he's played 68 games this year.
Is your thing with the Clippers injury specific, or these guys just aren't good enough on a night in, night out basis?
I don't think they're good enough night in, night out basis anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to win a championship? No.
No, not, yeah, I don't think they're winning a title, but let's just, Clippers specific, because the Kings are playing them tonight. Right now, season ends today. It doesn't. But if it did,
mm-hmm.
Things shake out this way, they would host the Mavericks in the 4-5 playoff.
Okay. I'm probably taking them.
Taking the Clippers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got...
They're the same team to me. Like, I know they're not apples to apples comparison, but if you told me the Clippers went to the conference finals, sure.
Okay.
Told me the Mavs went to the conference finals, sure. But yeah. Also, you told me one of them loses in round one and the other one lost in round two. I'd be like, yeah, all right, I'll buy that as well.
Well, I mean, I think it's really interesting, especially if it's Denver at the top. If it's Denver at the top, then they're in trouble. So the second round, they would face whoever the 4-5 matchup, the winner, whoever it is mm-hmm. going to face Denver in the second round. I don't think they can hang.
Yeah.
But if it's OKC...
Mm-hmm.
Or if Minnesota jumps back in that conversation,
mm-hmm.
and right now as we sit, OKC is a half game ahead of Denver,
mm-hmm.
I'd worry about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, they're good. I'm not saying the Clippers aren't a good team.
Yeah.
But they are beatable.
What's your matchup to watch tonight before we get out of here?
I think my matchup to watch tonight is Keegan versus Kawhi.
I agree. For so many reasons. Yeah. We are going to put a pin in that because I think there is a much bigger discussion to be had about Keegan Murray moving forward. We mentioned the Suns blew out the Pelicans last night, 124-111. Was that good or bad for the Kings? James and I couldn't decide via text message, so we're going to try and decide with you next right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we're going to talk about whether the Suns smacking the Pelicans last night was good or bad for the Kings. But before we do that, we're talking world travel.
Yeah.
And you started to say something before we came back, and I cut you off, so I want to let you finish that thought.
Yeah, okay, so someone said you've got to spread the Sacramento Kings gospel, or Jason Siebenthal in the chat said that. I'll tell you a crazy story. We were in Budapest, Hungary.
Ah, as one does.
Sometimes, yes. We're there with friends, and we're staying at a hostel or like a hotel that had a bar in the basement, and we were all excited because there was a Euro Cup game going. Mm-hmm. So we went to go watch soccer, and we did run into like your standard noisy anti-soccer Americans there who were drunk and having a great time, and it was a father and son tandem, and I think the son was around our age, the father was older, and they were like super super crazy obnoxious about there being soccer and how stupid soccer was, and we're like, okay man, like tone it down a little bit. Ends up,
respect.
You fly all the way to Europe and tour Europe, and you end up in a bar in the basement of a hotel in Budapest, Hungary, and it was a father and son tandem that taught high school at McClatchy High School. So not only were the obnoxious Americans, they were our obnoxious Americans from here.
Because of those people, there is a group of I don't know how many
Europeans somewhere.
It's a group of people from Hungary who are like, Sacramento sucks.
Sacramento sucks.
The Sacramento people are arrogant, and everything people from Sacramento say about the Bay Area, that's what people in Hungary say about Sacramento.
They did have this interesting idea. The Sun had this idea that because the Kings were really good at that time, that they should, their last roster spot, they should use on a little person. And then when you beat someone really badly, like the, oh no, you didn't move, is to bring out the little person, put him on Vlade Divac's shoulders and like Thunderdome and have him blocking shots from Vlade Divac's shoulders. This is what I was dealing with in Budapest. And yeah.
Oh boy.
You travel, you meet people, that's what happens.
Apparently.
Like, I guess. Like, oh no, they brought out the little person on us.
Okay.
Wild.
And they, okay.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
You don't know where to go from there.
I don't. I have no transition out of that. Anyways.
Let's get to this. Speaking of the Suns blowout. Yeah.
Yeah, the Suns blew out the Pelicans. Oh, by the way, next segment we're going to give away a Kings jersey. We'll tell you about it.
Oh.
But the Suns blew out the Pelicans 124-111 last night. And at halftime of LSU-Iowa, I flipped over to Pelican Suns because it just started.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the game. I text James. I'm like, hey, who are the Kings rooting for here? Because I went and I'm looking at him going, all right, well, they're two back of the Pelicans, but they're tied with the Suns.
Yep.
Do you want to gain some separation for the 7 seed? Or do you want to gain a half game on the 6 seed that feels almost out of reach, because if you're trying to catch the Pelicans specifically, they have the season series on you. You got to make up a ton of ground.
You got one more game against them.
You got one more game. Like, ah, I couldn't. did you? So we kind of went back and forth on this, and you got a firm answer out the gate. You're like, Pelicans, because you want to open that door.
I want all the doors open.
Sure.
Okay, so there's a couple of reasons. Again, what we had is that the Suns trashed the Pelicans 124-111.
I mean, it wasn't that close.
No, and Devin Booker dropped 52 for the second time this season against the Pelicans, and I think it's the third time in a row he's dropped 50 on the Pelicans, which is crazy because he's literally being guarded by all of these long, athletic people that we always talk about that the Kings need.
Right? Book's a good freaking player, man. He's a really, really good scorer.
And he's playing really, really well now. And at this point, I mean, he's going to sneak in and steal an All-NBA spot, and I don't even think it's close. You know, he's just been that kind of guy, and he's got his games in. He's at 61 games, so he needs 4 more games to finish out the season. But man, he's just been incredible. The deal is, though, like, look, you want as many opportunities to get up to the 6th spot as possible. That's, you need like options, right? And so if I'm the Kings, I'm looking at, you're tied with the Suns going into that game. Now the Suns are up on you by half game, but the Suns have the worst strength of schedule still left in the season.
Yeah.
So they got 7 games left. Their strength of schedule is 633.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild.
Silly.
Yeah. I mean, they still have 2 against the Timberwolves, 2 against the Clippers, 1 against the Cavs, 1 against the Pelicans, and 1 against the Kings. Right? So their strength of schedule, and that's their 7 games. That's tough. But like the Pelicans, you play the Pelicans too. And if you're the Kings and you can somehow beat the Pelicans and you can finish 1 game ahead of them, then you can push them down. So again, I think the Suns are going to lose games for sure. But the fact that the Suns and the Pelicans keep playing each other, that's fine. Okay. Like that, they've got one more game against each other. That means one of those teams is taking a loss.
Mm-hmm.
You have to concentrate on winning as many as you can.
Right.
But you also have to look at this as like an opportunity that you want people in the mix with you.
Yeah, I think that's right. You have to go down through the final eight. You have to go undefeated or like 7-1, maybe 6-2, depending on who the losses are against.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the case no matter what. And the goal ultimately here is not to, hey, secure the 7 seed. The goal here is to, see if you can climb into the 6.
Mm-hmm.
Which means any team ahead of you losing is good news.
Yes.
You'll deal with the Suns, fine. And if the Suns are going to get hot, the Suns are going to get hot. The Suns going to get hot.
Oh, yeah, I think the Suns are
hot. No pun intended.
The Sun is hot.
The Sun is hot. The Suns, kind of mid. No, so the Suns are, if they're going to get hot, then that's what it's going to be. There's nothing the Kings are going to do about that.
Mm-hmm.
They play them one more time, but I think that's right. I think the Pelicans losing ultimately benefited the Kings last night.
Yeah, just like throw it all in the mix, because even if, let's say, in a weird world where you end up in a three-way tie at the end of the season for the 6-7-8, right?
Uh-huh.
It's totally possible, but 6-7-8. Yeah. And you beat the Suns, but you lose to the Pelicans, but the Suns have beat the Pelicans. Now we got a three-way tie, and then it goes to division record.
Mm-hmm.
And because you don't play in the same, it goes to conference record because you don't play in the same division.
Sure.
And so now there could be a possibility where, again, the Suns' division, conference record is 25-21. The Kings' conference record, 28-19. The Pelicans, 26-20.
Mm-hmm.
You have conference record against both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if this somehow ends up in a three-way tie, okay. So that's where I'm at, like, whoever wants to, a team like the Pelicans losing can be a really good thing for the Kings. They don't have a tough schedule to finish out.
Yeah.
But it's not also, they still have another game against the Suns. They've got Orlando. They've got one against the Kings, one against the Lakers, one against Golden State, but also one against the Spurs, who have just waved the white flag, and one against the Blazers.
Something that can't be overlooked here as we talk about strength of schedule, the Kings have a really tough stretch coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Starting tonight. Like this, this is all couched in, if the Kings figure out how to go, like we said, minimum 6-2 over the next 8, all right, now we can worry about this. But when the Kings aren't playing, you got to watch something. Got to follow something.
Yeah.
In the NBA. So ultimately, I think the Suns win last night over the Pelicans. Good for Sacramento. That's where I land.
I definitely think it is. It would take more time and research to figure out just like the impact of it. Because what you don't want to do is tie with the Pelicans by yourself and then Pelicans get in and you don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and the other thing you don't want to do, in my opinion, is to end up 7-8 with the Pelicans and then have to play the Pelicans in the play-in game. Because that doesn't seem like it'd be a great deal for the Kings. And
so that's another question I have. We spent so much time yesterday laying out Lakers, Mavs, Pelicans, Warriors, potential play-in matchups, whatever it is. Are you more concerned with hosting the 7-8 or a matchup in the 7-8? For example, would you rather host the Pelicans in the 7-8 or visit the Suns?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because to me, the Kings don't have enough home court advantage to confidently say, yes, host the Pelicans, and that is the path to victory. I would give the Kings a way better chance to beat the Suns in Phoenix, which is, again, going to be a rowdy crowd. It's going to be a tough environment for sure. But I would give them a much better chance to go into that building and win that game than I would them suddenly figuring out how to beat the Pelicans in a win or go home situation. Well, win or
play again
situation.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. Like, the Kings should be better at home. And, right now they have a 22-15 home record and 21-16 road record. They don't make any sense at all. Like, the fact that they haven't been able to harness the home crowd is just something that's weird to me.
So strange.
I think, for me, I don't think home versus road really matters, except for maybe for a guy like me who would, I don't know if I'm going to hop a plane and go to New Orleans for one game play-in. especially when it's going to be 3 days in advance.
Yeah.
You know, where you don't have time to actually book something out. Maybe. But I still think that, you know, I think you'd want to play a home game. I think I would prefer to play the Suns to the Pelicans, though.
That's the Pelicans are the I think of every West team are the team you're trying to avoid the most.
Yeah,
that's not even close. I would like lose a game on purpose to avoid playing the Pelicans. Not literally, but
yeah. But I mean,
it's that's kind of how it seems to me.
No, I get
especially
what you're
since it looks like Zion's starting to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Zion figures it out every time against the Kings.
Yeah.
And especially you're going to be shorthanded, you know, mm-hmm. like this is, you want to stretch this out as far as you can with the hope that you can bring that somehow Malik Monk makes it back.
Right. So there's always been this kind of separate agendas for the Kings making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They for future purposes need to make the playoffs this year. To make sure their pick conveys to the Hawks.
Yes.
So they have their
full arsenal this summer.
Thank you, arsenal. Yeah. Right. And like you've mentioned, there are different ways you can try and move picks. But if the pick conveys, you're good to just start dealing picks. So that's one reason. But then there's also been this like, yeah, hey, you know what? They're playing better defense lately. Maybe they get into a favorable first round matchup. And then you avoid the Nuggets in the second round. And maybe you get like an inexperienced team like the Thunder or something in the second round, and maybe you sneak by them, and you start to kind of talk yourself into, hey, maybe there's this path or they make this little run. To me, at this point, with the injury stuff, that's out the window. We can deal with that if they make it through the first round.
Yes.
But at this point now, I'm like, how do you get into the tournament? Because the play-in does not convey the pick.
Yeah.
We talked about this yesterday. It's not where you finish in the regular season. The play-in tournament decides the final seeding.
Yes.
And so if you are the 7 seed coming out of the regular season and you lose 2 play-in games, you're the 9 seed now.
Exactly. And the Kings have, basically, they have, the way it's set up, their pick is top 14 protected.
Mm-hmm.
In 2024. It's top 12 protected in 2025 and top 10 protected in 2026. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't relay this year, it carries over to the next year,
mm-hmm.
which means you can't trade next year, you can't trade 25, you can't trade 26, and you also can't trade 27,
right?
Because it could possibly slide to 26.
Right.
So the best you can do is trade 28 and 30.
Which is not as valuable.
Which is not nearly as valuable. Not only is it like way off in the distance, but it's also... It's just nothing immediate for another team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough. So
yeah. So that's the way I'm viewing this now.
Yeah.
Is less about, hey, what does the playoff matchup look like? If they're the 6 or the 7 or the 8 in the play, that to me matters so much less than just getting there. And that's why I would want to avoid the Pelicans at all costs, because I think the Pelicans are just a bad matchup.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens. I don't think there's anybody who will really disagree with that.
No, I think in the grand scheme of the NBA, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Suns, and the Dallas Mavericks, they're all on equal footing.
Yes.
They're all basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
One's going to have a little bit tougher schedule. One's going to have a little bit less. You've got head-to-head matchup against this team, but not against this team.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Kings beat the Suns. That's why that game is becoming more and more important. You beat the Suns. You have a 3-2 season mm-hmm. series advantage over them. You should have already won the season series against them, but you gave up a 20-point lead in the final 8 minutes of a game.
Really bad.
That would have put you at 3-1. Not only would that put you 3-1, but if you just take that game, you would actually be, you would be at 44. They would be at 43. They'd be at 32 losses. You'd be a game ahead of them. Yeah, it's just like, it's all right there, man. It's tough.
They were talking about this on D'Lo and Casey yesterday. And you mentioned the Mavericks, Pelicans, Suns, and Kings all kind of being in the same boat. They're separated by 2 games. The 5-9 seeds.
Yep.
Excuse me. The 5-8 seeds are separated by 2 games. You can go 5-9 and make it 3.5 if you want.
Okay.
But it's a little late in the season for 3.5 to matter. So we'll just go 5-8, separated by 2 games. The Kings in the East at 43-31 would be 2 games up on the Pacers in the loss column. They'd be a half game back of the Magic for the number 5 seed.
Mm.
And they would be well clear of the, they'd be well clear of Miami in the seven, who's 41-33.
Yeah.
And man, that's, the West is just a gauntlet. And that's what we talked about, like, before this year. Go, hey, the Kings were the number three seed last year, but 48 wins most years might get you the sixth seed. West is going to be a little bit better this year. And when we talk about what did the Kings do differently, who was better, who was worse, this and that, I think this is part of it. Is Oklahoma City's just dramatically better this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Nuggets are the Nuggets. The Timberwolves took a little bit of a leap.
Huge leap.
The Clippers, same deal. The Mavericks certainly have figured it out a little bit with Luka and Kyrie.
Well, they just were so bad for no reason last year.
It was so silly.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even make the playoffs. They didn't make the play-in.
So wild.
Yeah.
So I think that's you know, we can, and the Kings definitely have flaws on the roster, and we will talk about that, I promise, all summer. And the Kings have some guys who didn't play as well this year, or maybe didn't quite fit the way they thought they would, but ultimately, I think so much of the quote-unquote problem for them has just been this. The fact that 43-31 this year has you in the eighth seed instead of the three.
Yeah, I would also say, Kyle, the thing that really stands out when you look at this is that they've got a 2-1 advantage against OKC. They beat the season series with the Nuggets. They're the winner of that series 3-1. What are they? 2-1 against Minnesota and won that season series. They're 1-2 against the Clippers. They're 2-2 against the Mavs. Mm-hmm. They're 0-4 against the Pelicans, but they're 2-2 against the Suns. Mm-hmm. They're 4-0 against the Lakers. They're 2-2 against Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
You are so good against a very talented Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we talk about conference record. The fact that the Kings' conference record is 28-19, that's incredible. That's really a good, spectacular conference record when you consider how good it is, you know, how good this Western mm-hmm. Conference is. But then when you look at these bad losses, that's why they stand out so bad, is because it's the worst teams in the East.
Mm-hmm.
You have lost to the Pistons, the Wizards, and the Hornets. I mean, that's, those games stand out so loudly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the fact that you've lost to the Blazers, that's, you know, that's one game. The fact that you can't beat the Rockets at all, which, you know, have fallen off just a little bit. But some of the teams that aren't going to make the playoffs, when you look at how they've done against the teams that are in the playoffs
mm-hmm.
and that you're fighting with, it's just really, really, like, alarming how those things stand out.
Yeah, the one thing I would point to is you mentioned the conference record. What did you say it was again?
The conference record is 28-19.
28-19.
9 games over 500 against an incredible conference.
Last year, they were, and keeping in mind the last two games of the year were kind of punts against the Warriors and the Blazers that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
They were 32-20.
Mm.
But had they really tried in those games, you might have been looking at like 34-18 in the West. I don't think they're getting there this year.
No.
So I think that's a little bit part of it. But I just, again, not that that's the only thing, because as you just mentioned, they've been really good against some of these teams. Then you get a team like the Rockets where they went, what, 1-3?
No, they didn't beat the Rockets.
0-3 against the Rockets? So yeah. That kind of factors into, I just think the West being better is a factor.
Like, no, I totally agree.
It's just tougher sledding this year than it was last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. The West is better, but at the same time, you're still who you are in the West.
Yeah.
You're the same team you were last year, basically, against the West.
Yeah.
And it's just tough. And some of the games that you have lost are against the non-playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, we can just pull out 4 games that we know. They lost to the Blazers. They lost 3 to the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that you would expect for a playoff team, for a team that's this high.
Yeah.
You know, you take, just even throw the Rockets out, but the 4 games against the bottom 5 teams in the NBA or the bottom 4 teams in the NBA that you've lost to.
Yeah.
You're a 5th seed.
You're tied with the Clippers if you just switch those. And that's why I have a hard time, because you get on air after one of those games in November.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, man, that's it. You go, oh, it's only November. Everything's fine. It's like, dude.
It matters.
It does. Like, the Kings are good. They're not Denver.
Mm-hmm.
They're not so good that you're going, hey, you know what? They lost to Portland in December. They're gonna win 50 plus. doesn't matter. Like that's that every single game matters at this point, and that's going to be the case until we see Keegan Murray take a leap, or we see an acquisition that kind of takes this team to the next step, where we're looking and going, hey, pencil this team as a top two seed, and let's get to April.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not there yet.
Yeah.
So
I would say to just to because we saw it last year with the Kings being one of those teams that jumped, just because OKC and Minnesota are up there right now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be up there next year. This is going to be a very similar situation to what the Kings faced. And it's possible that they're building and that they're going to be up there for years and years and years, but it's also mm-hmm. possible that they'll take a step back next year. Sure. Because that's kind of what happens in year two. You're acclimating to success, you're acclimating to expectations mm-hmm. and everything else, and teams are now looking at you in a different way.
Yeah, definitely. I was just looking, Minnesota, yeah, play-in last year. Oklahoma City lost in the play-in last year. New Orleans lost in the play-in last year. I think with those teams, it's definitely I think Minnesota's kind of just where they are. I think it's just sort of Ant and how far he's going to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's another step for Jaden McDaniels to take as a scorer. But yeah, with the Thunder, who knows?
They're really well built.
They're extremely well built. And I think that's part of it with them. Is Sam Presti just gets benefit of the doubt at this point.
Well, that and remember, they have a war chest.
They have a ridiculous foundation and a war chest of picks where they have like, what is it, 12 first-round picks in the next three drafts?
I don't know what it is, but it's a lot.
An outrageous number.
Yeah.
Like they could make real moves to dramatically improve even from where they are this year. But no, you're right. It's not necessarily set in stone that there's just this steady trajectory as we're seeing right now with Sacramento. In conclusion, the Pelicans losing last night was good for the Kings.
In conclusion.
we'll take a look elsewhere around the NBA. We're not going to take a look at scores from last night and because nothing else really impacted the Kings, but there's some storylines popping out in the NBA right now that I would love to chat about with you, James.
Okay.
And we still got to tell you just how bad the Oakland A's are. The Oakland A's and the Errors Tour. It's going on right now in Oakland.
The Oakland Errors?
Yeah. We'll tell you next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.